16:33, it says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We were never promised an easy life, but we are to put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus and to lean on him in the good and the bad times. God is our refuge and strength, so no matter what comes our way, is our faith strong enough to fix our eyes on Jesus and to fully trust him to see us through and say, "Lord, it is well with me." Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it for me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well. So let it go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let it go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let it go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. The waves and wind still know his name. It is well with my soul. my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me.
Our sermon scripture is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47, and can be found on page 1079 of your pew Bible. Peter addresses the crowd on the day of Pentecost. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This ends the reading of God's holy word.
Pardon me. God brings tears of joy through my eyes because of Buffy's singing. Thank you. So let us stand if we're able, and let us sing the sermon hymn. It is called "Jesus, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." It is found on page number 515 in your red hymnal. Let us sing.
Since Jesus came into my heart. Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we are so grateful for your word. We thank you for its teachings, and we pray for this time that our eyes and our ears will be open to what you would have us hear this day. For your glory we pray. Amen. The apostles' teaching, the New Testament record considered at that time, that's our focus, not our doctrine, not church doctrine, but what does the New Testament have to say in this book of Acts? The people were trusting in Jesus, and as they trusted in Jesus, they wanted to know more about who Jesus was. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So as they were studying the apostles' teaching, they were doing it with all their might. And that's the challenge for us. For in Colossians 3:17, Paul writes, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So everything that we are about in learning from the scriptures and in life is all to be done to the glory of God our Father. And we need to keep those kind of aspects in mind. And so our devotion, being devoted to God, I want you to think about that word devoted. What does it mean, devoted? It can mean enthusiasm for something. You're dedicated, you're fervent, you're zealous, you're loyal, you're faithful, you're committed, you're attentive, you're intentional, and you sacrifice for what you are devoted to. God wants us to be enthusiastic with him in our relationship with Jesus. He wants us to be dedicated, and he calls us to sacrifice. So our devotion to God is number one in our lives, devoted to God. And so we take a quick look to Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 41. The church was growing. They were growing through the people that accepted the message of Peter, and they were cut to the heart. And Peter warns them, and he pleads with them because they are living in a corrupt generation, a corrupt generation. Now, as you do a little research on that corrupt generation, it's not talking about any time and day in terms of the government and the turmoil and the violence of society. It is talking about life without Christ. Life without Christ. It's also talking about the fact that they were living in a corrupt generation because it was that generation that crucified Jesus Christ. Now, we're not part of that generation. We're a few generations removed, but we're still part of the corrupt generation because why did Jesus go to the cross? Because of our sin. He sacrificed himself because he was devoted to our well-being, our salvation. And so the corrupt generation is there, and we need to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then Acts 2, 42 through 47, a description about the early church in the city of Jerusalem, a church that was devoted to four key aspects: the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer, and to prayers. The earliest days of the church at Jerusalem. Luke is writing about all of this in his book of Acts. And I put a quote on the sermon outline in your bulletin from a commentary where Luke's writing the book of Acts helps readers feel the nature of what God was doing by his Spirit through the witness of the apostles. Everything was working together underneath God's coordination through these aspects of teaching and fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. And it began with the acceptance of Peter's message that day. It was the day of Pentecost, and Peter recites the aspect from the prophecy of Joel, and he also quotes from Old Testament history, the Psalm 16, and King of David. because the day of Pentecost was when Joel's prophecy was being fulfilled, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They had been waiting for that, and here was the day when the Spirit had been poured out upon them. And David is quoted by Peter because he's talking about Jesus, the resurrected Lord, the promised Messiah. And there's Jesus that the apostles are teaching about. The miracles and the wonders and the signs about why Jesus had to be crucified and the glory of the resurrection from the grave. And so you had Pentecost and the promise of the Holy Spirit and the message, and people were cut to the heart. They weren't yawning through. They weren't going there. They were cut to the heart. It was very real and very felt and very perceived. And Peter summarized his message by saying, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent. Change one's direction. My typical Sunday morning routine is to get here a few hours early to go over everything and do a little list of things I take care of. And then I sit in my chair and I try to prepare for the day in prayer. But I found myself wandering to some other projects that I have in mind, and I had to pull myself back. And I'd get pulled away, and I had to pull myself back. Remember, there was a time when I sat in the pews on the Sundays before I became a pastor. I know how our minds can wander at times, and repent means we're pulling back. It wasn't that my mind wasn't doing something wrong, but it was not the focus of those hours that I was here. But repent, change one's direction. That's Peter's message to those early Christians, those early people, was to repent. And because of that message of repentance and baptism, there was growth. They accepted and they were baptized. Devotion to God, the foundation of the faith, the legacy of God's work. And it's a very distinct devotion. Those early Christians in Jerusalem, they were set apart, and other people noticed. They were steadfast, and they were single-minded in their fidelity to God. So there was the apostles' teaching. Those 12, it was the 11 disciples, and then Matthias joined them. And so they were the 12 apostles that taught about the gospel of Jesus Christ. At 8 o'clock, I don't know that you said it at 10:30. Maybe I wandered off. But at 8 o'clock, you focused in on the word gospel and Toledo Gospel Rescue Mission. That is their core of their mission, is the gospel. That's what the apostles' teaching is about. It's the core of the gospel. And so they were learning because it was an authoritative teaching about Jesus Christ. It meant something to them. It mattered to them. And they listened. So there was teaching and there was fellowship. They would gather together, not just in times of worship, because then they would break bread together. But they fellowshipped in worship, they fellowshipped in education, and they fellowshipped, and that set them apart from other aspects in society. They fellowshipped with one another. The breaking of the bread can refer both to the Lord's Supper and the breaking of the bread or the breaking of Jesus' body. It can also simply be talking about eating a meal together. Eating together, it's a time of joy. It's that agape love that we talked about last Sunday. It's a time of praise and a time of thanksgiving. And then there was prayer. And in the sermon outline, I described that as conversing with God. Some people may not like that phrase, but conversing with God, I put it there because what happens when you are conversing with somebody, when you're having a conversation? Are you doing all the talking? At some point, you have to do some listening too, don't you? Well, our prayer with God is we can put out lots of words, but we have to take that time to listen for God, to listen for His voice, to listen for God's voice. So learning and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. And they held everything in common. They cared for one another. They gave away so that they could have and take care of the needy amongst them. They didn't look down and look up. They gathered together as a fellowship of believers. And there was unity. And they had common goals. and resulted in the mutual support of one another. I was blessed this week to visit with somebody that's going through a pretty scary health concern, and they shared with me how they like to always be there at those fundraisers where they could raise money to help others. They like to be there and take care of those kinds of people and friends that they knew. And now they're on the other end and they're having trouble accepting assistance from people they know and they don't know. And it's that pride issue and that some of that dignity that gets in the way. And here, it's the aspect of we have common goals, common belief, spiritual unity. We care for one another. We care for the needy. And because I'd been reading Acts most of the week, I could talk with that couple about that situation. And they were being lived out once again from the days of the apostles. And the sermon outline closes with a question. What does this mean for us? What does the learning and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer, what does this mean for us individually? And what does it mean for us congregationally? And I have that in the bulletin so you can think about that in the hours of the rest of the day or even this week, because it's a call to be devoted to God. We can be devoted to many different things, but God needs to be number one. Our devotion needs to be to God. And I want you to look at verse 47. The result of their devotion, the Lord added to their number that day. The Lord added to their number that day. It was not a program plan of the church. It was not this ministry and this ministry and this ministry. It was the Lord's doing. And in our devotion to God, it's the aspect of opening ourselves up to what the Lord wants us to be about, what the Lord wants us to be devoted to, the aspect of repentance and baptism and devotion. And the Lord will add to that number that day. Praise be to Him. Amen.
As we prepare to receive our morning offering, please join me in our prayer of dedication. O Lord, giver of life and source of freedom, I know that all I have received is from your hand. You call us to be stewards of your abundance, the caretakers of all you have entrusted to us. Help us to always use your gifts wisely and teach us to share them generously. May our faithful stewardship bear witness to the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. I invite the ushers forward.
Thank you.
I invite our ushers to come back and receive our second offering for our Imagine Your Faith capital campaign, and I will give you the latest update from the building committee. Bielhauser Architects issued their bid documents on September 13th, and we are expecting, the bids have to be returned by noon on Thursday, October 17th, and they sent them out to about 24 different general contractors. And so we're waiting for those bids on the 17th. We'll open them up and review them. Bielhauser Architects will help us make sense of all that means. And so hopefully within that week or two, we'll be able to sign a contract with a general contractor and have that next huge hurdle out of the way. Once the contractors are ready to begin, we will begin. We will not be holding off Thanksgiving or Christmas. We will start when they're able to start and begin that project. Long ago, we said 6 to 8 months to finish, so we want to get started once we can, and we'll keep you updated. Besides the general contractor bids, the building committee continues to work on several areas, like the refinishing and reupholstering of the pews. We finally received the third bid that we were hoping for and waiting for, so that came in this week. We got another bid from the asbestos abatement, and we have a new highlight added to the tasks for the committee, and that is the hospitality coffee area that is now under full discussion. So thank you for your support and continued prayers.
Please rise if you are able, and let us sing the closing hymn. The closing hymn is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. It is found on page number 376 of your red hymnal. After that, we will have the spoken benediction, and then the benediction and song will be Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and that is found on page number 335. So let us sing I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity amongst yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mind, you will glorify God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.